how bad does it suck to be Paul Pelosi and you get attacked with a hammer? Everyone accuses you of buying gay male prostitutes. And then when they're talking about all the charges against the attacker, it's burglary, kidnapping, or attempted kidnapping, assault, and elder abuse.
And elder abuse.
How bad does it suck to be Paul Pelosi to, like, this old gay bastard got hit in the head with a hammer?
This old.
More at seven.
It's just really fucking, yeah, that's a tough one. It's a tough, it adds insult to injury.
Dude, months elder on the heels abuse. Of his Dewey. So he's also an alcoholic.
But then again, if
prostitute.
He'd been there for prostitution, maybe it would have been elder abuse anyways.
Oh, I see. A little lemon party
little,
is what you're talking
aggressive.
About.
Maybe he's into aggressive sex. We don't know. I'm just asking questions. I just think it's wild, man. It's one of those things that really, it's crazy. I keep hearing people be like, yeah, good. I'm glad it happened. They're terrible people. And I'm just like, if bad things happen to bad people, like you can't really control the world. You don't celebrate it. You know, it's, unless it's Jeff Bezos. Jeff Bezos is the one person. And only like on that specific day when he's like, I just signed away where all my money goes. If I die now, it all goes to charity for some reason. And then like lightning just crushes him into the ground. And suddenly there's no more homeless people and every orphan gets a Bugatti. We're all like, yay, it's super great. Suddenly it doesn't look too bad being an orphan. You know, that's the only time. Like,
I might kill my parents just to reap the benefits.
Yeah, look at you. You murder your parents, you have a party, and then you become the next Batman.
I can make you the biggest sensation on TikTok, kid, but all you got to do first is kill your parents.
You got to kill your parents. We're going to make you the next Batman.
That's our hook.
Yeah, that's... I don't know. It's just, it's weird. I keep seeing people be like, yeah, well, the liberals were making fun of Rand Paul when his neighbor attacked him. And I'm like, well, look, that's two completely different situations. That's sort of like, you can't really equate the two, which sounds like a bit of a deflection, right? But the thing I looked up was Rand Paul, he got into a fight with his neighbor and his neighbor assaulted him over a lawn care dispute. It wasn't politically motivated.
No,
so
trying
to
use
each
other.
Yeah, so trying to use it as an example of like, it's as if to suggest that Rand Paul's neighbor, through malice of political forethought of that, was like, I'm going to scare politicians the country over to make sure that they also clean up their dog shit or like whatever. Like, you know, like assuming that it was politically motivated is like, I don't know. It's one of those things that just bothers me, like compare like and like. And everybody's kind of throwing out these wild, like, well, look what in this situation when this was happening. Like, look, nobody was saying anything then. It's like, I'm pretty sure they were. And it's as if to say, like, I get that an individual saying something doesn't speak for the entire party when it comes to politics. But a lot of them seem to be pretty okay with it. Is all I'm saying. Like, I don't, if somebody was mocking Rand Paul for being assaulted and having his ribs broken by his neighbor, then yeah, they're probably kind of an asshole. But contextually, what did Rand Paul say to get his ribs broken is what I would like to know. Us sitting here going, a man breaking into the Pelosi's house with a hammer with the intent to, I mean, not kidnap, but what would you call it? You know,
his exact plan was to smash Nancy Pelosi's kneecaps in so that she would have to be wheeled onto the floor of Congress to serve as an example of how the people rule, not the politician, not the fat cats and plutocrats.
His message wasn't to kill her, but merely to bash her kneecaps in.
To maim her and let her serve as an example of the power of the people.
And then he smashed her husband in the head.
Apparently, allegedly.
Isn't that how? Yeah.
Something like that.
Chipped his.
This man is a gay male prostitute. He's drunk.
Yeah, he's a gay male prostitute.
That's literally from Trailer Park Boys. Like, the conspiracy theories around Paul Pelosi are an episode of Trailer Park Boys.
We've really kind of jumped the shark, America has. Yeah. Haven't we? We've kind of gotten there.
This man's a male prostitute. He's drunk.
I just think it's crazy. I don't know where we go from here. Somebody was likening it to being like, this is kind of what civil war is going to look like in this country. Quote unquote, cold civil war. Like, that's what we may be considering this in, like, you know, 50 years when a bunch of shit, like we're teaching our kids in the ashes of the world. They will reference this time as potentially the cold civil war of America, where all these like sort of little attacks of terrorism happen domestically on behalf of political parties and political ideologies. Like just a bunch of crazy little Timothy McVeighs running around committing these little horrible atrocities and posting their manifestos on 4chan and shit.
Just some light terrorism. Well, in the nation, again, it's domestic terrorism.
It's the one thing that I've seen that I have been able to corroborate is that this dude was all about like conspiracy theory. Like this guy was all about the alt-right conspiracy theories. He was an anti-mask, anti-vax kind of, you know, January 6th was good. Trump actually won kind of guy. That's who this guy was. I still can't find anything about him being a gay male prostitute. I don't. It's so funny because the second this guy does this thing going, I'm going to do this for all my brothers on the fucking right. We're going to set an example. They all like, this guy was a gay prostitute. He's like, no, I'm one of you. I'm one of you. Don't you understand? They're like, that guy's just a fucking gay deep state hooker.
Gay male prostitute.
Trying to make the right look bad. And they're like, he just don't.
It's there's evidence for the real story and there's none for gay male prostitute. But some people are like, well, you're not just going to believe a crazy story like a politically motivated guy broke into the house with a hammer and beat him up when clearly this was a clandestine gay lover situation with a hammer.
Well, look, and two, isn't it pretty infantilizing for the right to assume that a right wing gay male prostitute can't just break into the Pelosi's house to attack her with a hammer on behalf of the right? Huh? Can't he just do that and be that kind of person and have it not be connected to them? Huh? That seems a little bit offensive. He doesn't have to be Mr. Pelosi's gay male prostitute. He can just be a male prostitute.
What if he was
and
there,
a gay one at that?
What if he was there tagging both of them?
Yeah.
What if he was in a hot, nasty thruple? He was the gooey marshmallow in a fucking Pelosi s'more.
I mean, I tell you what, it still doesn't condone it. But I guess, you know, I mean, that sounds kind of hot.
I'm just saying.
Maybe 10 years ago, it would have been a little better, but I don't know.
Oh, man.
She's got all the money in the world. She can probably keep it tight. Anyways, go ahead.
Her security's going to be nuts after this. Third in line for the presidency.
Yeah.
You got to protect that.
Yep. I'm surprised. Like, again, that's the biggest thing. Everyone's like, I don't understand how this guy could get so close to them.
Well, her detail went with her. They're not going to stick around and be like, we want to hang out with Paul this weekend. Paul has gay male prostitutes come over. Do ping pong tricks with their buttholes.
That would have been a better story if this guy broke in and like all of his male lovers like fleed the estate while this assault was happening. Because they're like, you know, they're all lovers. They're not fighters.
So there were gay male prostitutes there. It just wasn't the aggressor.
It wasn't this guy. I mean, hey, man, whatever you do in the comfort of your own home is what you do in the comfort of your own home.
I'm pro-multiple gay male prostitute.
Look, I wish the right was just more out and about it because it always seems like there's one or two of them that are like, I am all about, like, you got it. Here's this don't say gay bill and da-da. And then that dude shows up in some motel with a 20-year-old boy. And everyone freaks out. And I'm like, I wish you'd just been upfront about it beforehand. Like they just, again, it's creepy because the guy always end up being like 53, you know? And you're like, wow, that's a big, why couldn't you find someone your own age, man? You know, like, come on.
Because that would be gross.
Let's be.
Two 52-year-old men poking each other in the chops.
Oh, you just.
I don't know about that.
Just a lot of skin on skin contact in that Motel 6.
Mm, we'll leave the light on for you.
Hanging out in Kennebunkport. Afterwards, they go out for his nice seafood dinner. Then they come back.
They go to the scoop deck. They get dinosaur crunch.
They get the food sweats, and then they go back for a late night walk on the beach before some Motel 6 just sandpaper fucking.
The
just,
encore, round two. Gotta love it.
Oh, it's a beautiful dream.
Who was the guy? I think he was from Florida that got busted. Larry Craig.
Dude, I can't
was
even
he like a senator or some shit.
Throw a dart at a wall. There's so many conservatives that have been caught doing shit like that. So many of them.
Can you imagine though?
So many of them.
Well, and that's the thing. So if you're a gay man who frequents glory holes,
yeah.
So, and you're the one who's sticking your wang through the hole.
What's this map of
you
bathrooms?
Have to wonder who's on the other side.
Sure.
You'll never know. You're just parking it somewhere.
Look, I'm
But you don't know who it is. But what if you're like, I don't know, maybe it's Cory Booker. I don't know who this could be.
Just Cory Booker on the other side.
You know what I mean?
Can we get on with this?
This could be like John Hamm. I don't know who this is. It could be someone famous. It could be a Method.
I got to tell you, man, that's a good... You bring up an interesting thing.
Just saying, that's got to be part of the thrill and the allure.
I don't know. I look, I'm a lonely person, all right? There's... It might shock the audience. And that, like, you know, you miss, like, I'm like, oh, my God, I got a hug the other day. Holy shit. I forgot what human contact was like. It was nice. I wrote about it in my journal. But so it's like, I don't think I've ever been so lonely where I'm like, I'm going to stick my penis through this strange hole. And I don't really care who's on the other side. But some stuff's going to happen to it. I'm going to feel good. And we're both going to go home. Watch the stubble. Like, I've never been that alone. I don't know how
you get there. We've also never been that gay.
This is true. But
I'm
saying,
I recommend you don't try your little trick in the ladies' room.
If there was a female alternative.
I'm saying don't go do that in the ladies' bathroom.
I feel like it just would be, it's just such a weird...
Well, because you can't guarantee that it's a female alternative. They can tell you that. I don't think there's a whole lot of communicating. Well, maybe again, just you being like, less teeth.
This is what I'm saying. I've never been so lonely. That if you were in a place where they go, okay, look, man, here's the deal. Here's the magic box. It's a 50-50 chance it's going to be a lady or it's going to be a dude. How lonely are you?
The thing is, I think about, like, the glory hole concept and, like, the idea of, like, not knowing the other person on the other side. And it really makes me want to go on Love is Blind so bad, dude.
Is that? Yeah, but you think there's a lot of conversation happening on the other end of the glory. So what do you do? Like, no, I don't think so.
Are you a Sagittarius?
Yeah.
You definitely, your mouth feels like one.
You feel like a Sag. So dry. So dry.
And yet so tender.
I wonder if there's someone out there who does horse, like, does all that. Like, that is so true.
They're like, that's such an Aries thing of them to say, to make that joke.
I mean, that'd be fun, actually. We should get someone who comes on and tells us how doomed we are. I feel like we know a bunch of people who
JT?
Do that. There we go.
Just
done.
Taylor.
Yeah. Friend of the pod.
Should come to our star chart.
That sounds actually like a fun episode.
That would be fun.
How fucking screwed am I? Well, it doesn't work like that. Tell me!
Well, Rory, you are named after a sign called Cancer.
Yeah.
So, not a good start.
And I'm a big fan of chicken nuggets, so it's like, you know... I'm
also a big crab.
Yeah. I'm a big
Cancer,
crab.
Cancer, the crab Pokemon. The
crab Pokemon. Cancer.
But yeah, no. Love is Blind.
Yeah.
I really, really think we should try to go out for it.
I just feel like... I will, I'm not sure. Again, it's one of those things where, like, I'm lonely. I'm not sure I'm that lonely. Although at the same time, I call him like, hey, I have no prospects. I'm not doing shit. I can easily fly out. I don't have a job right now. I'll be a really weird contestant and I'll say whatever I need. You guys want me to say in order to advance the show.
That was the strategy I adopted when I audition for The Real World.
Yeah.
I took one of the producers aside and I was like, I will cause all kinds of hell if you put me on this show.
Yeah.
And I know that's what you want.
Yeah. I'll do just the right amount of havoc. Like, I'll seem like a real person, but I'll you know.
You see, sir, I'm an actor.
Yeah.
Ever heard of it?
I'll cause some havoc.
It's nice.
I'll find whichever other person on the other side. Give us like 30 seconds with the cameras off to be like, okay, legit. Are you in this for the real thing? Or are you, what? No. Let's go. Okay. What's your name? Becca. Great. Becca. Cameras on. Hi. Just go right into it. Oh my God. I want golden retrievers as well, but we have to get them as puppies.
Oh my God. And then when you have an older one, you can get a younger one and the older one can teach the younger one how to pup.
And then you're like,
we'll just let our dogs raise each other forever for the rest of our lives.
I feel like I've known you for my entire life.
That's the shit you have to do, though. They're not looking for a wild card. They're looking for, like, the most generic piece of shit in the world. Yeah. You just got to be like, I work in marketing. And I enjoy stand-up paddleboarding.
I love to just, cardigan sweaters and changing myself.
My sweater collection is insured.
It's pretty awesome.
It's covered by Lloyd's of London.
Oh, man. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, giving her the pitch to, like, and I'm looking to change myself.
Yeah, I think that's really important.
And then just allow yourself to be molded. Oh, my God, you're so right. 6 million does sound like an unrealistic number.
She's like, I don't know. I feel like I'm looking for somebody who's a little more independent than that. Oh my God, totally. I think I can do that.
And that's the thing, is like, you can go with a personality flaw, but the thing that the show really, really needs, people are getting pissed that there aren't more big girls on there.
Uh-huh.
I think they need to start throwing some curveball people in there. And I'm sorry, but ugly people know they're ugly.
Sure.
And unattractive people, like, there's levels. Ugly people know they're ugly and they're really not holding out for much. Unattractive people think they can make themselves attractive.
I'm learning so
middle
much
of
today.
The road people don't really factor into this. They're just fucking each other. Attractive people.
Attractive.
Really people? Have just a commanding presence, and then hot people can do whatever they want.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
But this game takes that out of it.
Well, ooh, exactly.
At first.
Exactly. So you get some fucking like
until that
neurofibromatosis
idiot.
Guy with a hot voice, and he fools the cheerleader, and he's like, surprise, I am not an animal, I'm a human being.
I'm just saying, they want some true chaos on that show, because the one we watch. How many seasons have there been since then?
There are now three. I haven't watched two or three.
Okay. The one we watched had a woman treat the guy she picked like shit because he was short, while she went to the other guy behind his soon-to-be wife's back to say, I wish you'd picked me instead, only to then go all the way to the altar with that guy to then say no to him. That was the first season. If someone like rides in like, I'm actually just half a person on a skateboard, I'm going to be like, okay, yeah, that's the natural ramp up that they had to do. I'm one of the lizard people who actually controls the moon. Slack! And they just like take a fly off the roof.
Did you think of your thing that you were thinking about before? Your topic?
No.
That's a shame.
I don't think of much anymore. I don't think of much.
Anymore?
No.
Well, I had a couple thoughts.
Yeah.
Get into this.
You wanted to get into something?
Let's talk about relationships.
Okay.
Because we were talking about Love is Blind.
Uh-huh.
So I want to start off, I want to ask you, what are some red flags when you're starting a relationship? What are the first like red flags you look for?
Oh, God. Oh, I don't know. I think the first one that's super obvious usually is if they treat like waiters or like service people like shit. That's usually the biggest red flag, because most of the time, like, you're going out on a date with somebody, you've never met them, you don't know them well. So you go somewhere public, and oftentimes that means like a restaurant or somewhere you have to have some sort of interaction, because every fun thing in the world costs at least $20 now. So you have to go and interact with somebody who takes that money from you. And they will interact with that person, and how they interact with that person is important.
Okay.
Because like, they might be super nice to you because they want to make a good impression to you, but that other person doesn't mean shit to them. They don't, like, there's no reason other than you're not an asshole to be nice to some people in the world.
See, and that is the exact opposite of my first red flag, all of it. If she's nice to the waiter,
great.
I'm concerned, because I have to figure you're being an asshole to the waiter when I'm not around and you're on your best behavior to impress me, and I can't go for liars. So why don't you just have the courtesy to treat this man like garbage?
So you went and assumed right off the bat that everyone's a horrible person, and so being nice is disingenuous. If you're nice, you're being disingenuous.
Current,
fuck you.
Current girlfriend, sweetie aside, every yeah. other woman I've ever dated has been a psychopath. And I'm not saying all women are psychopaths. I'm saying I am a psychopath magnet.
Yeah.
I have a propensity for finding myself in dangerous situations.
I date two types of people, which are crazy people and the ones who realize they just want to be my friend. No, not all of them. Some of the more long-term relationships I was in, that was usually the end result. It was always the fun thing when I realized at the end, I was like, oh man, I'm so glad this ended, because you're lying to me. Like, if you're with somebody for like 4 months and they end like, I see us more as friends. You're like, you're lying. We're never going to talk to each other again.
Yeah, just say you want to sever entirely.
Yeah. If we show up on each other's radar ever again after this, it will probably be to have an argument. So
if I see you on the train, I'm going to pretend I don't know you.
Yeah.
Let's just put it that way. That's fine.
Yeah, it's okay.
That's not cruel. Cruel is you will end up maybe keeping hope alive
yeah.
and getting back together sometime, because uh-huh. we're going to be friends. Sometimes you can fall in love with a friend. Sometimes you fall in love with a friend. and maybe we'll fall back in love when she sees that I'm crushing it at my job at Newbery Comics. Well, guess what, dude? Just because you were promoted to head of Blu-rays or whatever the fuck, she's not coming back. She's moved on with a Chad.
Yeah.
And you can't do anything about it, so don't tell me you want to be friends.
Yeah.
Shove it up your ass.
Oddly specific. Yeah. So, I don't know. I guess that's the red flag on the end of a relationship when they say that you know you're not going to be friends usually. I had a situation, and I feel like I've talked about it on the podcast, where I was seeing a girl that I liked, and then I asked her out. I think we'd hung out. We knew each other through friends. And there was, like, we talked a lot, and then there was one day I was like, hey, do you want to, I don't know, go get some brunch tomorrow? It was like a Saturday. And then I never heard from her again until like 3 months later. She was like, oh, my God, I completely forgot to respond. I'm so sorry. I was like, yeah, it's fine. But like, I never asked her out again, because that's kind of a red flag when someone asks you to do something and you supposedly think that you like them and then you ignore them for like 3 months, that you don't go back from that.
Well, that's just called playing hard to get.
Yeah, this is what I thought maybe too. But no, she was just super busy. But it's also like kind of one of those things, like you make time for people you care about kind of things, you know?
Well, and if you're so busy, why are you on a dating app?
Yeah. Yeah. Why are you dating?
Networking on Tinder?
Yeah. Why are you trying to date? So it was, again, it was fun. Like, we went out on a couple of dates. I did like her. She was a girl that I had hit it off with at a wedding, and we just started to date. And we probably dated for a couple of weeks and saw each other a little bit, and then she just disappeared. I was like, okay, well, I guess I kind of got my answer there. And I think when she came back, she realized, like, she would have probably preferred to keep dating, but also realized why. I was like, no, it's cool, whatever. Like, we can be friends, and I'm not really hurt by this, but that's because I had 3 months to get over you, you know? I always get the answer of, like, well, Rory, why didn't you say anything? Like, why didn't you hit her up? Like, why didn't you give her, like, a hello and stuff? I'm like, well, because she didn't make time for me. Like, I gave her a direct question. Like, it wasn't because, like, we should hang out sometime. I was like, what are you doing tomorrow? Like, what are you up to? And she just never responded. I was like, okay, well, that's that then. I'll wait for her to let me know when she's free. That's what you assume after that. They'll see that eventually and go, oh, shit, and then hit you up and go, oh, I'm so sorry, I got crazy. You don't expect that 3 months will go by. But you just kind of get over it. So that's a bit of a flag.
Okay. But I would say in that instance, if you ever find yourself in a situation again where a girl hasn't responded and it's been like 3 hours, tell her you've been in a horrific accident.
Months. 3 months.
And she's your fucking emergency contact. You can't let it go 3 months.
Yeah.
You have to, if you haven't heard from her, let's go ahead and say within 45 minutes, tell her you've been in a terrible accident. You're in critical condition.
This hurts. I love you.
I need you right now.
I need you to come to my bed. And she goes, oh my God, I'm on my way. You go, you passed the test. Congratulations. You passed the test.
Come to my window. Would you like to get muffins tomorrow? Yeah. You're a fucking psycho, dude.
Yeah. I'll pay for the muffins.
All right.
So yeah, I don't know. Like, what's a red flag you think of?
Listen, it's a stereotype.
Uh-huh.
But sometimes some stereotypes are true. You don't fuck with a Taylor Swift fan. Don't do it. Don't fuck with a Swiftie.
Don't fuck with the T-Swifts.
There are people who listen to Taylor Swift, and if you go, oh, I fucking hate this song, they might go, oh, I like this song.
Yeah.
Oh, I like Taylor Swift. That's okay. That's okay.
Okay, so we're drawing the line.
That's never going to last. But you can sure try.
I'm learning so much.
I encourage you to. But like someone who is a self-confessed Swiftie, I've seen her in concert 5 times. I own triples of every album. I have a signed poster, and one time I went into the bathroom after her and found a piece of corn from her crap, and I put it in a dream box.
Yeah. Here it is, encased in resin.
So awesome.
Sometimes
I put it in my mouth, pretend I'm Taylor Swift's colon. Well, dude, that's the Swifties. That's the shit they do. And if you're out there and you're listening and you are a Swiftie, you know I'm right.
I've known a couple people who were Taylor Swift fans.
Oh, they're an insufferable people.
But I can't say I ever really dated any of them, so I don't know. I don't know what that's like. So that's one for you, Taylor Swift fans specifically.
They're not to be trusted. I don't want to paint with a broad brush and be dramatic, but they're all totally fucking insane and they should probably be deported.
It's like women whose favorite artist is Eminem. Not that there's anything wrong with that. You're just too intense for me. You're a little scary. You've got more tattoos than I know what to do with.
You wear a lot of beanies and low-slung sweatpants.
Let's be honest. If you gave me a chance, I wouldn't know what to do with it. I would try. I'd give it my all, but let's be honest. I wouldn't know what to do.
I was just happy to be considered.
Yeah, I was just happy to be like you. Yeah, I got off the bench and I got off the plate.
I feel like Rudy.
Yeah, it was great. Look at me. Maybe I'll make a tackle, but just one. And the game will not be called on that one play.
All these other dudes handed in their jerseys.
Yeah.
You want Rory to play.
We want him to get in there.
He tried so big.
Yeah.
We
were making love and you put on Stan and I got scared. I can't keep up with the rap god pace. I had to leave.
I'm all about tempo and it's impossible to do this to white rap.
I just can't. It's so angry.
You'd have an easier time banging someone to a Slipknot album.
I don't know. There's obviously the easy ones, like you meet somebody and they don't ask you anything about themselves. They don't ask you questions, you know?
Yeah.
It's only about them. God, I hate that. I once went on a date with a girl who got way too hammered on the first date.
That happens.
Got way too drunk. Any woman who says that I'm attracted to assholes, I will run from. Anyone who says, if you can't hand me my worst, you don't deserve me at my best.
Live, laugh, love.
I'm like that seems really specific that you say that. That seems like your worst is really fucking bad. Like your worst seems like it involves throwing dishware and maybe stabbing me in the shoulder blade with a fork. So I don't like your best in any way. Like that's such an easy thing to say when we don't know how proportional your best to worst are. Okay, that's very important when you say that, ma'am. You might want to like turn that into a paragraph. Like, if you can't handle me at my worst when I smash a plate over your face, then you don't deserve me at my best when I'm chill on the couch. You know, like, well, okay, fuck that. That's stupid. I'm watching Becker.
Photoshopping our faces together to see what our children would look like.
Yeah. Like, oh my God, that's your best?
Wow.
I'm getting the fuck out of here. Like, what? I brought KFC home. You go, okay, that's pretty good.
Well,
like, don't be wrong. I like that every now and then.
Hang on. See, and that's the thing, too.
But by
that extension, you really can't trust the staged, faked, deep person. Extend it. I feel like we're beating up on girls too much. I'll say people.
Well, no, these go for guys, too. If you run into a guy who says, I'm not religious, I'm spiritual, you fucking run.
Yeah, kill your local indie soft boy.
Listen, pick a lane, asshole.
That's a good point.
You thought about changing your name to Willow.
We'll keep talking about women, but our NB listeners and our female listeners... can't, or however you identify.
This applies to fucking everybody.
Make it whatever's into them.
If you're, look, I don't think I have to tell most women out there that if a guy doesn't call you back after 3 months, you don't want to do any, like you have nothing to do with him. Like, I'm pretty sure they all figured that out. Because women get hit on way, way more than guys. So they learned most of the stuff that we're talking about when they were like fucking 14, you know? When dating started to happen, most women kind of went on dates. You know, whether they were painful and awkward or not, like you had experience. Like I've talked to a lot of people like, oh, my God, it was the worst. Dating was so awkward. I'm like, oh, you dated. Like my dating as a kid was few and far between. And I promise you, more awkward. Most of my childhood stories of romance are like, I liked this girl and then I went away to college and I met another girl at college, but felt guilty because I was still kind of seeing this. Oh, that other girl I knew back home already moved on with another guy. Oh, she was seeing that guy the entire summer. Actually, okay. Oh, that girl that I met at college moved on already. Okay. Like, that was child romance for me.
You keep referring to yourself as a child in your 20s.
Yeah, because I was a child.
I'm disturbed.
A drinky, sad, pot-smoking child.
Somebody change me.
Yeah. We were so young.
I'm 22.
We were so young. I just, like, you know, I just look at it as being so long ago.
Yeah. It was long ago. Uh-huh. It was long ago. And truly, those are the days where you, like, lose the last of your naivete.
Those were the halcyon days.
We enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Getting drunk, sitting on our left hand until it turned into a ghost hand.
Well, and again, I always look at myself as being, like, a youth, you know? Because I see some of these stupid situations that I was in, and I'm like a guy yelling at the screen in the theater during a horror movie. Don't go in there! She doesn't love you!
It's coming from inside the house!
Don't do it! You're going to go meet her parents? She's not worth it! Don't get in! Don't do it!
There's a Chad lurking on the fringes. He will win her heart.
You're going to leave. You're going to drop her off. This dude's going to pick her up. Don't be stupid. Get out of there. But I do it anyways. You do it anyways.
You have to. You have to follow your heart.
Tonight's the night I'm going to put my hand on her opposite shoulder.
What would you say is the worst mistake you've ever made in a relationship?
In a relationship?
Yeah, or a situationship. We can extend it to that.
Oh, God. I mean, you met one of my relationships, so I guess it was not realizing the racism.
Interesting.
I guess was probably the worst red flag I ever totally fucking missed once, was that one of my girlfriends was a casual racist. And I kind of like had that veil pulled over my eyes after she left me. She left me. So I think that was probably a bad relationship. that was probably the one where I wish I had noticed those flags. Just a lot of shit like that, but also mixed in with like a casual condescension. This made for an overall really toxic relationship that one might argue was slightly abusive. Like, not obviously physically abusive, but sort of mentally, emotionally.
I see.
Yeah.
See, I knew this individual was no good when we went to the movies.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
And she faced a blunt the size of a Lincoln Log and drove.
Yeah.
And almost killed a dude and his daughter.
Oh, yeah, you were in the
it
car when that happened?
Bad. Oh, dude, that was bad.
See, here's the thing. That happened enough times where you were in the car one of the times it happened.
Yeah, never again.
Yeah. Again, it was one of those issues where, like, I saw the things about her that I liked, so I ignored all of this awful shit. And she was also pretty, so
oh, very.
I had a like, you know, it was a tough look for me. It was not a good relationship to be in. I was in a rough spot because there was another gal that I really liked, who happened to live around that area, who I was trying to spend time with, who I was talking to for a very long time. Who, at a certain point, when I was like, listen, you got to know that I'm still attracted to you. I still have feelings for you. This is me trying to get together with you so we can talk and catch up. But like, that's still how I feel. For her to go, oh, I've been seeing someone this entire time. And then I met this other girl kind of shortly after that and began this long, awful relationship.
Yes.
So we will say that, you know, and this was all in Boston. Boston was not a great time for me, we'll say.
Have you ever had a great time?
Were
the developmental days in the womb?
I enjoyed New York. I enjoyed New York pre-COVID. Well. Then things got pretty fucking dark. Texas was fun for what it was. Boston was fun up until that point. Once that shit happened and I started to get myself into some bad relationships and... That was pretty tough until right around the point when I left to go to Texas. Yeah. Have I ever had like a really good relationship? No, not really. All my relationships have ended very poorly and in fairly cataclysmic ways.
Well, that's great, Rory.
Isn't that great?
Top-notch stuff.
I'm trying to think of like my first relationship with one of our old friends, Marissa, was probably the most amicable breakup I've ever had. Which was us just being like, this just isn't really working out.
I don't
want
to go out anymore.
Well, it was just really, we were talking one day. She's like, this just isn't really, like, there's not really a spark here, is there? I'm like, no, not really. She's like, okay, that's cool. Don't worry about it. I was like, yeah. And that was it. And that was my junior year of high school.
Yeah.
And just, every other relationship after that was a train wreck of pain.
I mean, yeah. At that point, like, first of all, high school doesn't count. I think we can all agree high school doesn't count.
No.
You're hormonal. You're just basically, like, participating in the drama of the situation.
You had some bad heartbreaks there, too, didn't you?
In high school?
Yeah. Oh, they hurt so bad.
No, I fucked up bad. I was dating a great person, and I was like, meh, I'm done with this.
And kind of fool could see.
It was a mistake.
There was something.
To quote Men at Work, it's a mistake. It's a song of theirs.
Oh, okay.
You know.
all right then.
You know.
Yeah.
It's a little casual Australian music for the folks.
Well, I come from a land down under.
Oh. Speaking of which, I have a question for you as well. On a first date, I'll tell you one of my power moves. You tell me if this is weird or not.
Yeah.
I used to do a lot of kissing on the first date.
Oh, yeah?
If I knew I was like, okay, we got a ball game, I would go in for that kiss at the end of the night. And it would not be just like a kiss like at the door. It would be like, let's go to a public park and make out in front of the ducks and God and all of our friends.
Uh-huh.
Is it weird to lead with the kiss? Should you be a little more mysterious and aloof and be like, I had a great time tonight, and give her like the goosebumps walk away, the gentle touch on the arm, and then you just peace? And she'll be like, why didn't he kiss me?
I've done both.
Okay.
You know, I've had the
research.
Okay, well, you know, you get to the end of the night, you give him the kiss goodnight, and then you fuck off, you know, just the quick little 1, 2, 3, 4 second kind of thing, and then you go, okay, great, good night, and you fuck off. To really good effect, honestly. Like, just like the subtle, just like, okay, oh, okay, well, we're heading out tonight. Okay, good night. And you just go for it, you know? That is usually fairly successful. If you've had a good date, you know, if you,
right,
you can kind of tell that feeling at the end of a, like, you know, like a date kind of a thing. You're walking them to the door. You're getting to that moment where you're parting ways and you're both on your feet. And, oh, geez, and there's a street light. Oh, it might start raining. You can kind of tell. That usually is fairly successful. The aggressive makeout, I found, oftentimes doesn't lead to a long relationship.
That's okay.
But is nonetheless successful for what you're looking for. And then I've also had the, like, I'm just going to walk off kind of good night thing, which I find oftentimes is less successful because they don't really know how you feel.
It's a letdown to the end of the night. Well, yeah.
And also, again, like, as much as, like, people don't like to admit it, and maybe this doesn't happen rarely as much, but women are pursued aggressively in the city. So the moment you're like, okay, and you give them the shoulder punch, you don't try anything at all.
Another guy immediately scuttles up.
Is the moment that someone else on her date Thursday night, in fact, did, and you're just going to get the, well, you're a nice guy, just didn't feel the spark.
I kind of met someone.
Because you didn't show them that you were interested, and so there was no spark. And so it doesn't go over as well.
It's a delicate dance. Obviously, yeah. If you're not feeling it, you don't do anything. Mm-hmm. For a different kind of woman, you got to do kiss on the cheek or nothing at all, goosebumps, walk away. But you have to also set up a plan for the next date first. What are you doing Friday? Would you like to go see Breathless at the LACMA?
Well, and see, here's the funny thing. I've done that before. Wild failure.
Wow.
Wild failure.
I don't think that's the system.
She was a nice gal. Her name was Lola. Lola.
Oh, you met a Lola in the wild? That's so nice.
I did. I met a Lola. She was very nice. We had a very nice first date. She seemed fairly reserved. The night ended with a hug, actually. Hmm. And we went on a second date. The second night also ended with a hug. And we have never spoken to each other again. Like, that was it.
You guys are hugging. She just goes into her apartment. There's just a whole wall of like leather whips and paddles.
I don't know. She was the type of person who really all of her conversation was sort of oriented around what her job was and what she did. Mm. Like, she didn't really get much out of that. And for what she did, it was like sort of like her family. That was her. She was her family and work. Mm-hmm. And I can't really relate.
If you're not an international assassin, then like I really don't think your whole identity should be your job.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah. Well, it's I definitely don't have that problem. So I had horrible results from that. And we did. We did plan to have a second date during the first one, kind of. Like, wow, this was really fun. Yeah.
Did you try to go in for a smooch?
I mean, I got in close and the hug was clearly what I was gonna get. So
But did you plan for success and go, I'm marching like Sherman took Georgia?
I walked her back
I'm
to the train. This was in New York. So okay. Like I walked her back to the train both times, you know. But you only get so far and you only get so much time. And when you get back to the train and they go, okay, this was fun, and they give you a hug and they fuck off, you go, okay, good night.
Well, I get that like macking on the train platform is not ideal. That's why you have to go to the park. On a romantic moonlit stroll.
No, just you get the vibe too, you know. It just wasn't what they were looking for.
Sure.
Yeah, just different people. I've been broken up within the park too before.
It's tough. The park giveth and the park taketh
you
get, away.
You go on the walk place. In the park before you go to get dinner, right? And you go, oh no, public place. Sitting down on the bench. You know, this isn't working out. Kind of, oh no. Yeah. That's happened.
Well, and at least that's like an early on in a relationship move.
Well, it's great because you can make a scene too in the park. Well, sometimes, you know, they enjoy the humor and sometimes they don't.
Yeah. You just get up and point at her and go, this woman poisoned my dog.
Or you just walk up and go, you enjoyed the sex last night. What happened between then and now?
I turned myself into a dirty whore for you, Becca.
You just used me for the sex. The amazing, amazing, you make eye contact with someone else in the park. Amazing sex.
Just truly top-notch stuff. Here's my card.
Yeah, well.
You, madam, eating the churro. Come over here.
All right, then. I can see my emotional needs were not met here.
Have you ever tried the aggressive, like, going in for the kiss and, like, starting a little steam heat making out type thing?
What do you mean?
Well, when you're with a specific kind of person and you catch the vibe,
have
like,
I made out with a girl before? Yes.
Yeah, have you ever seen a boobie? Tell me what they're like.
I mean, yeah, that's happened.
But I've had dates where
they don't really last very long.
I've had dates where it's the peck on the cheek. I've had dates where it's like, this is fun. Can I see you Friday? Yeah, totally. Well, let's go see Breathless at the LACMA. You got it. That sounds like shit, but you got it. All right. Take it easy, Starry Eyes. And you just like give it a little touch on the arm, you walk away. You have to call her Starry Eyes. The whole thing. Starry Eyes is the linchpin of the Goosebumps.
I would love to meet someone who I could do that to. I've had two situations in my life where I ran into somebody who was clearly just looking to have fun and not worry about it. And in both situations, I totally misread them and honestly liked them enough where I was like, I would be fine seeing where this goes. And if I had just had sex with them, it would have been better for them. So they were like, fuck off.
Oh, so you're a fuck boy.
Yeah.
Got it.
I am apparently.
You are a fuck boy. Yes.
Is that what that is when you ask a girl for a relationship when she just wants to fuck you? Or is that when you pretend you want a relationship and then you fuck them and leave? I think that's what being a fuckboy is.
Well, fuckboy.
Isn't that fuckboyland's all about? This guy's a fuckboy. He just fucks a bunch of girls and leaves them.
I also love, by the way,
I think that's
tangent.
The opposite of what I'm explaining. Did I explain the story right? I feel like I'm having a stroke.
I love as a tangent, by the way, on that they had Nikki Glaser host that show. Because if anyone knows about a fuckboy, I feel like that's exclusively her dating pool. It's just guys are like, you're really funny.
You're really
She's
pretty.
She's like, oh my God, thanks. And then afterwards, they're like, I'm kind of seeing someone.
Yeah.
This happened again.
So I'm not a fuck boy.
I don't know.
They were fuck boys.
Well,
I was like, I kind of like you. This is, and they were like, if you had just fucked me, then, you know, we wouldn't have a problem, but you didn't. So I'm leaving.
See, and to them, they're going to go, he led me on. He's a fuck boy. He toyed with my heart.
Being a fuckboy is you have to fuck
but
them
they don't
to
give
be
a shit.
A fuckboy.
They apply it as a catch-all.
If I'm a fuckboy, I'm the worst fuckboy on the planet.
Well, sure. Just like there's a funniest everything. As Shane Gillis pointed out, there's a funniest presidential
assassination. But don't you have to start by doing? Don't you have to actually have sex in order to get the moniker? Wouldn't I actually? If they were like, wow, that was just all asses and elbows. We had the worst sex ever. I'm like, yeah, I'm kind of seeing someone and then I leave. Wouldn't then I be the worst fuckboy ever?
I have COVID.
He tripped on the way out. He gave me COVID. He killed my azaleas. Worst fuckboy ever. Holy shit, he ate my Eggo waffles. Then I'd be the worst fuckboy ever.
No, I think the one
Holy shit, this guy gave me an upper decker.
I think the one that acts like a fuckboy but doesn't have any sex is the worst fuckboy.
I would have had sex with them.
But you didn't.
They just didn't tell me until it was too late.
A woman shouldn't have to tell you.
Yeah, apparently they do.
They put out vibes. They tell you with their aura.
Okay, I don't get first date bang me vibe auras, I guess.
Well, okay.
I'm really poor about that.
So I lived with one of these people in question.
Yes.
And when she talked to me about it, which was incredibly uncomfortable, by the way.
Great.
Just the worst day of my whole life.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
But she told me, she's like, I don't know what else I could do. I was, like, not wearing a bra, and I had the windows open in the middle of winter.
Yeah, I didn't want to be rude.
I could have, like, cut glass, and I don't know, man. I don't know. Played stupid video games with him. I hate video games.
I mean, she didn't hate video games.
No, I know she didn't.
That's why we hung out.
Yeah, she was just like, I don't know what happened. I've never been rejected by a man before. I've also never done my own laundry. Can you help me?
Because I'm stupid. This is what I'm trying to tell you. Everyone jokes about it and says that, you know, oh, you couldn't possibly. You know, I really didn't. Because I've told you, I would have slept with your roommate. I just, you know, it was one of those things where I just didn't, because I'm dumb.
Just didn't follow through?
Yeah, because I'm stupid. Because I'm dumb.
You're not stupid. You joked.
I'm dumb. Trust me. If she had said it, I would have. But some ladies just never will.
Some ladies never will. They don't need to say it. None of us needs to say it. We have to.
They don't have to, but sometimes it's nice, okay? That's what I'm trying to say here. Sometimes being explicit is nice. So yeah, no, I am dumb though. That's the one thing I learned, especially in Boston. Had that happen a couple times.
We hit dumb periods in our life where we just don't handle a single date well.
I learned. Yep. Kind of. Not really. Well, I didn't really.
Take comfort in the fact that everybody learns the same lesson, just in different ways.
Oh, sure. I mean, now my big problem is, like, I'll go on a date. I'll be like, no, I can't right now because of existential anxiety. But other than that, you know, that's why I'm just not, you know. That's why I don't think I've gone on a date in... it's been a while. It's been a while.
You got to start using the existential dread to your advantage.
I don't know. Whatever. I'll just start playing angsty guitar.
There has to be a dating app for nihilists.
It's called dating or whatever.
Yeah, it's just whatever, except there's no final E on it.
I found there's some fucking super alt-right conservative dating app. I can't remember what it's called.
Oh, fuck. I've seen it, too. The commercials are wild.
You have to be invited to get in. I sit there and go, man, that is the most dude-filled app on the planet.
Oh, they're all looking for a Tommy Lahren.
Yeah.
And there ain't one to be found.
There's no women on that app, I guarantee you. I bet you that thing's 80% men. I bet you it's 90-plus percent men. Oh. I'm pretty sure Tinder is already like 80% men.
Oh, it's just a gilly field of men with raging hard-ons.
I sure it is. If you were to look at New England, let's just take New England, right? And you were to look at these dating apps and go, how many of these are men and how many of them are women? I bet you it's a fucking ocean of penis. I bet you it is just so many fucking dudes, you know, and like 20% girls. Because the secret is like you don't like, I mean, don't get me wrong, it's nice and convenient, but you don't really need it. You don't really need it if you're a pretty lady. You can be a hot guy and you're up against this one dude who's a fucking hot guy doctor. Every guy can get ripped abs these days. You know? I don't know.
Yeah, there's a lot of legal steroids and steroid alternatives out there. As long you really want to achieve it.
As long as you're not doing that synthol stuff, turning your bodies into cubes and isn't that what it's called? The synth?
Oh, the stuff where their biceps turn into like big melons.
Big cubes because they just inject shit into them. What's it called? Isn't it called
It might be synthol.
I don't know what it's called. I also could have just taken the name for synthetic alcohol from Star Trek.
It's possible. It's very possible.
I'm not sure.
It's called deer antler spray.
Yeah, it's something. Somebody will have to correct us. I think only one person ended up reaching out when we were like, go ahead and tell us on the Instagram. I think friend of the pod Machado was the only person who said anything on our Instagram. I'm not sure.
About what?
Remember we on the last episode, we're like, if you're listening this far in, go ahead and say, I'm still listening on the Instagram.
Oh, and she said she's still listening?
I'm pretty sure she did.
Oh, that's nice.
I think she also said something mean to us. I thought she gave up on us too, so give me more credit. I thought she quit when we started mocking Harry Potter, which, hey, I like the Harry Potters. It's just, there's a couple of fandoms out there that are, they have certain fans that are rife for mockery. Harry Potter's one of them. Star Trek. Star Wars. Hell, throw Battlestar Galactica if they would just get off their ass and start making some new shows.
Yeah, they're reviving everything else. Do a hyper-violent Battlestar Galactica.
Right? I feel like a lot of anime gets the lampoon, you know?
It's all in good fun.
But it's all in good fun, especially because I enjoy a lot of it.
Just remember that. Like I remember and I were seeing a movie, and there was a preview for Fantastic Beasts, The Secrets of Dumbledore. And I remember just turning to you with a huge smile and being like, the secret is he's gay. And it's like, that's the kind of ribaldry we enjoy.
I'm the kind of guy who goes to the theater when everyone else is dressed up and something happens on screen. Wingardium Leviosa, and everyone cheers and I go, shut up! We're trying to watch the movie we all paid to get in here.
You're ruining the illusion. Yeah. Magic is not real. Yeah. I wanted to feel like it was for fucking 90 minutes. Yeah. And you stupid assholes with your fake wands.
What are you, in the 8th grade?
Shut up!
You're adults now.
You're making a mockery of the cinema.
And that's how I like to have fun. But, cool. I mean, come on. I would go get my wand if I wasn't cripplingly lonely and had a girlfriend. Didn't you just listen to the past 30 minutes about why I can't do anything right?
But you've also never tried to meet a woman at Harry Potter World.
Pretty girls try to sleep with me. I say, no. What am I going to do?
So stop doing that.
Hot Ollivander cosplay girl is going to come up to me like, I can show you where you can put your wand on in Harry Potter. I'd be like, okay, see you later. And I'll just walk the fuck off.
Oh, she's probably trying to sell me a stylish carrying case.
Yeah, exactly.
And she's like, that's a weird word for my vagina.
Listen, I don't like the upsell lady. I am out of here. And I'll walk away. Wait. I don't know what I did, she says. That usually works in a Harry Potter world where I sleep with strangers while I'm dressed as Dumbledore.
Guess I'll go sit on my enchanted washing machine.
Away! I don't know, maybe I'm Ron. I can find my nice Emma Watson.
There you go.
I don't know. I feel like I'm aiming kind of high there.
With Emma Watson?
Yeah.
You don't think you deserve an Emma Watson?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like Beauty and the Beast kind of sucked, but.
Well, that's what I'm saying is like, buy low. Buy low.
Great.
Hey, Emma Watson, do you feel like totally defeated because you were in another one of those really bad live action remakes of a beloved Disney cartoon classic? Would you like a wine cooler?
We can get some ice cream.
Let's take a walk down the beach.
That's good.
I saw a litter of puppies under the pier. They might have washed away by
now. Damn it. They're being led by Daniel Radcliffe. Oh,
shit. She's gone to live with them to study for a role.
Yeah. Now you two are going to talk. Oh, yeah. Okay, great. I'm done.
Awesome. You still can't remember the thing you were going to say earlier?
No.
Was it good?
No, I don't think it was very good. Also, I'm sad now.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to drag you through the relationship, Bramble.
No, it's fine. Why'd you have to bring up the roommate? That makes me sad. That one, that's a hard one. That's tough.
I thought when I said, what are some relationship red flags?
Yeah.
You would start riffing. Instead, you got very candid.
Yeah.
And I quickly was like, I'm going to let him go.
Yeah. Real sad stuff.
I'm going to let him go.
No, it's fine. One day my prince will come.
Just kidding. The whole thing was a bit.
Yep. No,
well,
it's fine.
He's been in a long-term relationship with Nancy and Paul Pelosi.
Ooh.
And we bring it around.
Wouldn't that be nice?
I don't know. I don't have much more to say or do here.
I think I was self-deprecating enough this episode.
I think this episode went to some unexpected places.
Yeah. Do we really give everybody a retrospect? Does everyone feel good about their own relationships now?
Do you feel snug and secure? Do you feel like you learned something?
I want everyone to know. Just be explicit with the person you care about, right? You let them know.
Communicate your needs.
Yeah.
Do you have anything you'd like to plug?
I mean, no, not really.
It's not a very pluggable time. Not a whole lot going on.
We got Thanksgiving's coming soon.
Sure.
Are we going to do our special Thanksgiving episode this year?
Have we ever done a special Thanksgiving one?
No.
I was going to say.
I think it's about time.
It might be. We always do a barn burner Christmas episode.
Rory and Alex's turkey spectacular. That is for sure.
We always pull off a barn burner Christmas
always
episode.
Always a good Christmas episode. We promise not to let you down.
We promise not to get on a series of on-air fights with Tanner and Mitchell.
Okay. Maybe it's going to be nothing but that. But you'll be surprised about what we fight about.
That's Christmas. You unwrap the episode and maybe it's all joy and harmony and merriment. And maybe it's the end of a friendship.
Let's be honest. It'll be whatever Mitch wants to yell about.
So there we go. I guess that's a plug for like 2 fucking months from now is look out for the Christmas episode. Usually our best of the year. We save our best for last.
Yeah, enjoy this episode coming up in a couple of months. So.
I guess we're going to call it a day. So until next time, thank you. Go fuck yourselves. And goodbye.